Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
If you're into city sites, like, you will see every beautiful piece of what urban beauty would look like, you know? Glittery riverfront, the moon is glowing above, and the train trestles, they're honking and everyone's cheering. MLK and the Eads Bridge behind the stage. And it's just like this incredible city vibe, you know what I mean?
I'm Sarah Fenske. A new concert series is now up and running in what may seem like an unlikely place, Laclede's Landing. This historic neighborhood on the edge of downtown St. Louis hasn't been a live music destination since the late, great Mississippi Nights closed more than a decade ago. But Drew Jameson hopes to change that. He's the owner of JMO Presents, and they're behind the new Lot on the Landing concert series. It kicked off last weekend. Now, that new location hasn't come without complications, but Drew joins us today to explain what he's up to and why. So, Drew, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
So, Drew, you're a former talent buyer and promoter at established clubs, including Atomic Cowboy. Why head down to the riverfront?
Yeah, so, I did have a brick-and-mortar location pre-pandemic, but we were all forced into some changes during that time, and a longtime dream of mine was to do these pop-up concerts in areas within the St. Louis city limits that would kind of just showcase different corners, kind of get into places that are underutilized, so to speak. So for Laclede's Landing, I actually only went one time myself as a younger music lover, but I really loved it when I did go. I've heard just amazing stories about it, and also this beautiful riverfront doesn't get utilized nearly enough, and I wanted to try to help change that. So
you mentioned you had done some of these pop-up concerts, after the pandemic shut down all these traditional venues. You'd hosted some things outside even before this. What was a part of that?
Yeah, the first one we did was called The Lot. So this is kind of like the sequel to that. The newest one you introed so beautifully is called The Lot on the Landing. So when we did The Lot, it was over next to Busch Stadium, which has a bit more just like built-in security and just the landmark, easy to get to. I mean, we were in between both 40 and 44, so it was just like really easy to get people to know where we were. And it was just at a time when St. Louis needed this so badly, live events that were safe, and we followed all COVID protocols. We worked together with the health department very closely and ended up even, you know, getting phoned to help with some different plans throughout the way. So we did some really great techniques that worked and made people feel COVID safe. So those events were small, 250 people. We sold out almost all of them and paid some musicians and got some people working. I had about 20 employees down there. So, it was just real good, feeling good moment. We also donated to some charities for that one because we really wanted to just kind of give it all back on that project, you know what I mean, as much as we could. And so we raised about $5,000. The artists of that night would choose the charities. Since then, I went over to City Foundry, where it was much more, you know, different times. This COVID thing changes the perception of ticket buyer consumer behavior just pretty much every single day, you know. So some days it's gone really, really well, and other days everyone's afraid to go out. And, you know, so all the points in between have made it a bit more unpredictable. So when we got our name out there with The Lot, and we kind of got into the more basic concert promotion strategy over at City Foundry, and it was really there to help promote City Foundry, which is just incredibly, I think they're doing very well this past few weeks on their opening, but it was a bit of a soft opening for the food hall that was to come. So that was kind of the thoughts behind that. And then fast forward to now, like I said, the riverfront, think it needs some love. Downtown St. Louis has a bit of a stigma right now going on with crime and stuff, and some of it, of course, has facts to back it up. And I think the challenge of getting into this neighborhood and making it a safe experience, which we felt very much we have done here the past first week and going into the second week, that's where we're at now. So
So you mentioned downtown and some of the issues involved with it. And there certainly is this perception right now amongst people who don't live in the city that like, whoa, I don't know if I'd go downtown. How do you push past that and get people willing to make that trek to come to not just downtown, but kind of this corner of downtown that can be a little harder to get to?
Yeah. So it's, you know, for the record, when you finally figure your ways in and out of this neighborhood, it's really easy to get into, but it is difficult to possibly maybe go over the bridge by mistake your first time. I must say I did that once or twice. So, but yeah, to answer your question here, that there's this initiative that Greater St. Louis made publicly with the mayor's office just about a week or two ago, and it kind of aligns perfectly with the thought. And I'm not really in on those discussions on the top level, but you know, the whole concept is safety makes is created by events. You know, events create safety, so to speak. And that, you know, when you bring in security force and like police force and all the extra elements that you are required to do to host a responsible event, then come all hundreds and maybe thousands of people, depending on the event, of course, it really does stop a bit of the criminal activity that may have been there if nothing was going on at all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
People looking for troublemakers aren't going to come to a place that has security guards and a whole lot of other people there. They're looking to maybe pick off places that are less populated.
Right. I've seen at the Landing alone, I've seen incredibly good behavior changes in that neighborhood, and it's great. It's only been like a week and a half. I'm only going to be here for a month, so it's not like this is my permanent home, but it's impressive to see that, you know, we have had, you know, knocking on wood, as I say it, zero incidents so far, and people have felt very safe and they've been able to explore the riverfront safely. That's a really good feeling so far.
Yeah, that's great. And so it sounds like, you know, this issue of gun violence, that's an issue across downtown. This has not at all been an issue for you. But there is one issue that you have had to deal with this location that wasn't an issue for your other two pop-ups. And that has to do with the fact that there was an encampment for homeless people, is, I should say, an encampment for homeless people right in this area. At what point did you realize there was this riverfront community that's kind of right there on the Landing?
Yes, so just to subtly and humbly correct you on that, there was a tent encampment near City Foundry, and we didn't bother anybody then, and no one bothered us. And
so this was an issue that was previously on your radar in one of your previous pop-ups.
I wouldn't even call it an issue. We didn't have any issues at all. It was a fact of, the unhoused situation is a big crisis in St. Louis, and people are all over the city are unhoused, you know what I mean? So it's definitely overall a bigger problem than just this concert series. But to talk specifically on the concert series, I've gotten to know the riverfront community very much over the past several weeks. We are getting along very well. There was never any efforts to evict, so to speak, anybody, but like there was a misunderstanding that did come out with an activist group called Tent Mission SCL, which I've also gotten to know very well. And we've come, I believe, to a good place right now. And I think they would say the same too. And they're setting up at our events and raising funds and generating awareness and having some success with that as well. We gave a smaller contribution as well to help start them off. And I, JB from the Riverfront community, I talk to every day. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to like, where they were when we looked at the property, I have come to realize on my own that this community has moved around in the riverfront area depending on the time of year, possibly. And when I had first come, they were over tucked behind the flood wall, which was not anywhere near the area. Well, excuse me, it was near, but it was not within the footprint of what we're looking at. And so when we started to quote unquote break ground on our pop-up venue, which doesn't involve much construction at all, really just bringing in assets and aligning the temp fencing and all that type of stuff for ticketed events, they had relocated. I think there was some MSD sewer work that relocated the riverfront community to the pavilion, which is the people call it the porte-cochere as well, and it's also just the old admiral boat. It's got a roof, and I can see why it's an appealing place to have that encampment. So when that became when that progress was made, we quickly changed our plans. We moved what we had planned for that area. I didn't have the means to to provide a different accommodation for anybody. So there was no, we wanted them to go untouched. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. And, there was a misunderstanding there for a bit, but as I said, we've really gotten to a good place, and I consider some of these people friends, you know, in terms of just like peaceful dealings, and, mm-hmm. and everyone has been very respectful, and I hope they would think the same of us, you know?
So Tent Mission STL, that's kind of the activist group that seeks to advocate for populations like this, and including this one. They released a statement last weekend, and they acknowledged, you know, that there had been some misinformation out there, and that, you know, it wasn't exactly clear what had been going on, but that now, you know, things were good, that they were working with you, they were happy with what you were doing. But they also said in this statement, they said that you, Drew Jameson, met with the Riverfront community, and that you said at that point that your lengthy refusal to meet was, quote, due to explicit instructions by Mayor Tashara Jones's office not to engage in dialogue with unhoused representatives from the Riverfront community. Is that something that the mayor's office had conveyed to you? Don't meet directly with these guys.
Well, I think it comes down to this. I can't accommodate any actual demands with city resources. I'm a very small company. I don't have much pull, so to speak, in this big political clout type way with the mayor's office. So it was, my understanding was that there were negotiations being had and I would have been getting in the way. Mm. And that was what was asked of me, is to not get in the way.
And so that's something you sought to respect, but at some point it became clear, hey, these guys are here, I'm here, we got to talk.
And my contact over there, I let them know I have to say something at this point. I have to address these people in a direct way. And we did. And we quickly got along. So, yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. And so you guys
and
are
no
now...
one was ever going to get evicted because of these concerts. I do have to say that if there was any movement, it would have been with a consensual, like, we have a place for you to live, happy ending type way. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I can't say enough. I'm not this for-profit, big developer, business type guy. I'm very much hard on my sleeve musician that does work in the music community, and we want everyone, human rights matter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, can't say that enough.
Well, I'm glad that you have come to this understanding, and it does sound like from additional reporting we've done on this that people are feeling good about the arrangements that you've made. So that's a real credit to the approach of this concert series. And so I want to mention one thing before we talk about how last weekend went, and that's that St. Louis's original blues festival has been held on the historic Laclede's Landing. It does not go all the way back to Mississippi Nights, that there has been not live music here. However, it has been a few years since we've had that, and so you're certainly bringing something back. So you've brought it back. How did it go last weekend?
You know, I think for a lot of reasons, it was a little bit of a slower start, but we've seen some life, which is good. We've proven our plans and staffing and layout and footprint can provide safety, which is really good. Mm-hmm. And our first test will be tomorrow night with the Dead South, and I say that meaning that we'll have probably 800 people down by the riverfront, and it should be a really great, fun time. And I that's going to be the dream coming to life, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, so you know, a lot of tickets have been sold for this Dead South event.
Yeah, it's been going really well.
That's exciting.
And a few other ones that will do well as well in the coming weeks. Keller Williams is doing a Grateful Grass, which is the Grateful Dead tribute. His show is selling well. And Aaron Cam and the One Drops. And then we have some free events that I think will also bring some great crowds too. So
that's exciting. And even if people aren't a fan of these bands, I think it's worth noting, you have mentioned this is just one of the most scenic views in the metropolitan St. Louis area. Tell people what this site looks like when you're actually down there for an evening concert.
I'm glad that I'm getting a chance to explain it, because I really do think it's incredible. So in the middle of your... Firstly, I think it's important to say that Lumiere Casino has been kind enough to allow us to a park on the former ground of Mississippi Nights, which is now the Hotel Lumiere parking lot. So we have this like entrance that's you park at the top of the hill on First Street, and you come wrap around the old Sun Deckers and walk down Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. And as you're walking down, you're seeing Riverfront and JMO staff and signage, and just like throughout the night it turns into this glittery river and the moon is glowing above, and there are both MLK and the Eads Bridge behind the stage, as well as just walking down to your right, you just see all these like if you're into city sites, like, you will see every beautiful piece of what urban beauty would look like, you know? And the train trestle is also, I must say that it came by a bit more than usual last night. It usually comes around once a show, but they're honking and everyone's cheering, and it's just like this incredible city vibe, you know what I mean? Mm. So the arch is during the day visible for from the stage, so for the daytime events you'll be able to see a sliver of the arch. Can't say enough that how beautiful it is, and especially the weather we've been having the past couple of days. It's fall right now and it's not too hot, and it's been a good time.
Well, you make a great case. People need to come down for these concerts. So Drew Jamison, owner of JMO Presents, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the time.
And we want to go out of this conversation with just a little bit from the band that's playing this Saturday at the Lot at the Landing concert series. This is the Dead South. And that is In Hell, I'll Be Good Company by the Dead South. The Lot on the Landing series runs through October 10th. Tickets and details are at jmopresents.com/thelot. This episode was produced by Laura Hamden, with audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.